Welcome back to another exciting episode of Behind the Paddle, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of pickleball and the athletes and figures who make it thrilling as we dive deep into their personal journeys. I'm your host, Rob Nunnery, and today we have a special guest who's recently transitioned from the tennis courts to the pickleball scene and is already making a name for himself. It's a guy that I've been really excited about to get into pro pickleball based on his skill set from tennis. Joining us today is Donald Young, a former tennis prodigy who has taken the pickleball world by storm. Born in Chicago, Donald has a highly successful junior tennis career. He reached number one in the junior world rankings at just 16 years old. He went on to achieve significant success on the ATP Tour, including reaching the fourth round in singles at the US Open in 2011 and 2015, and the finals in doubles at the 2017 French Open, lending itself to the pickleball courts. Donald turned to professional pickleball in 2023, bringing his impressive lefty spin, quick feet, quick hands to the sport. His transition has been marked by a run of impressive performances, especially lately in singles, including a nice run at the Houston Open, where he knocked off several top-seeded players. When he's not on the court competing and traveling the tour, he resides in Tyrone, Georgia, and is continuing to develop and learn the pickleball game and all of the nuances and differences that there are compared to tennis. In this episode, we'll go into Donald's incredibly high expectations for tennis as a junior. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. We'll talk about his transition from tennis to pickleball, along with his goals in the sport and his experiences on the Pro Pickleball Tour thus far, and where he sees it going in the future. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into this incredible episode and conversation with pro pickleball player Donald Young. Welcome to Behind the Paddle.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernie's, ATPs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family owned, USA made, pickleball proud. Selkirk Sport, we are pickleball.
What's up, Donald?
What's up, Rob? How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, dude, I was excited for this one because just thinking back to my junior tennis days in Atlanta, I told you I grew up practicing every day in Stone Mountain with Calvin Kemp and Ashley Hobson and that whole crew over there. And I would always, you know, go into tournaments. I would always see like you and Calvin would play a lot of dubs together. And then even when I coached tennis at Georgia State with Chase Hodges, you'd come out and hit with the guys sometimes, which was really cool of you. So yeah, a lot of history and excited you're in the pickle world now too.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Seeing you guys out there, Georgia State was cool. Calvin's one of my best friends. So he was like, yeah, come out, and then Chase, and it was great. And that kind of went on to when he went to GGC as well. So it kept relationship. So that was great to kind of reconnect here. It's pretty cool. It comes full circle for sure. Life does.
Yeah. And then I know another good buddy of yours. I was just, you know, getting ready for this pod. I dug in a little bit, and another name jogged my memory. I was like, oh, I know that name. I remember him. He was another lefty, but he played at Southern Illinois when I played at Samford my first year. And that's Skip Spann, who I know is a friend of yours too.
Oh, man. Yeah. Definitely one of my best friends for sure, Skip. And yeah, he comes to visit almost every year. We traveled together. We did a lot together. So Skip's my guy. We kind of get out to pickleball at the same time, but he has like a family and kid now, so he's not able to play as much, but I'm trying to get him out there.
Yeah, I guess that's the limiting factor oftentimes, you know, with guys that have a good tennis pedigree to come over and play pickle. It's they have life. They have jobs now. They have families, kids, the whole thing. And it does limit the ability to play a tour, which, you know, you're very accustomed to through tennis.
Yeah, it does. Especially, you know, we're not in our 20s anymore. You're not fresh out of college. You can do whatever you want when you want and no one to answer to. Now you got to kind of ask permission to leave or get that time and to spend time, that much time away from a kid, and it is a lot anyway. So it's a big ask.
Yeah, what's been What was kind of the catalyst of getting you into pickleball? Was it, I know you know James Blake and trained with him coming up as a tennis player and stuff like that. What was kind of the thing that got you into it?
So to be honest, I didn't know much about it. And I was like, I saw it on TV a couple times on the tennis channel, and I was watching it with my friends. And I was kind of like, I kind of dived into like some more info about it. And I saw some of the guys and I knew some of the people, and I'm like, oh man, this looks like something I could do, you know, and tennis is like, is winding down. It was just something another way. And they're like, oh, these guys are making good money too. So I'm like, oh man, even more so, let me hop in. And then this event in Vegas came up in, I think, the December 2022, and the PPA and Conor Pardo was like, we're having four tennis players are going to captain a team. And I was like, they were like, you've been playing, right? And I hadn't played at all. And I'm like, yeah, of course I've been playing. I've been playing a bunch. Like,
so all I do.
All I do. Like, yeah, I've been playing. So literally I got like a paddle. I went to Dick's Sporting Goods and picked up a paddle for like $60 with a head paddle. Instantly correlated with a head paddle. I thought it was good. It came out to be terrible. And I went out there and I got like whooped by some 70-year-old guy and his friend. Yeah. And they asked me to come out and they wore me out and I was upset. Yeah. So that's kind of how it went. And then we got in a group chat with the players, the guys, the tennis players, and we were like talking smack and like Isner saying how good he is. And Sam's like, you don't understand how good I am because this is what I'm going to do. And Jack is talking and then everyone's just talking. And of course, I'm kind of like, yeah, you're not ready. And I'm quiet because I know I haven't been playing. And,
yeah.
And then I turned out I got there. I wasn't as bad as I thought I was going to be. But I wasn't even close to what I was hoping to be. So it kind of piqued my interest, and I just wanted to get better at something I wasn't good at.
Yeah, at that time, not so much compared to like Jack, Sam, or those guys, but compared to like some of the, you know, the regular touring PPA pros at that time. What was your assessment of the level at that time compared to like where the tennis guys were?
Yeah, like those guys are good. It's such so many different more nuances to the pickleball that you don't see when you're just watching it on TV. It looks like I could play mini tennis. I can do that. And, you know, but the feel of the paddle is different. It's no strings. It's just you have to hit it a little harder than you think and a little softer than you think. It's just a lot of like where you hit it, where you're hitting it, like how hard did you hit it? Like, and just it's some real strategy there. And it seemed like you could just instantly come and just use tennis technique and just dominate. And that wasn't the case. And to see those players and they were exposing me and I didn't know how to do a Ernie or I didn't know how to do anything. And it was just, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. What's, I guess looking, so now you're playing the PPA Tour, you're playing hopefully MLP. What is your goal with pickleball now? Is this kind of like are you looking at it like Jack, like where this is going to be kind of your thing, or are you doing a bunch of other stuff too?
Yeah, no, this is the second thing. This is the thing I really enjoyed. And, you know, after tennis, this is it for me. I really like it and I want to get the best I can possibly be. Whatever that may be, I don't like to do anything and not try to be the best I can be at it or the best in general. I want to be competitive with the best players. Since they all mostly have come from a tennis background and it took them a couple years, I just feel like, you know, if I apply myself to some extent or fully, I can be at least in the mix with the guys and I want to be the best player I can be. And it's fun. I just enjoy it generally playing and I like the competition. It gives me exact same feels as when I was playing at the highest level at the US Open in the fifth set. I feel the same nerves, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's an interesting part of like when I came into pickle, I hadn't played tennis for 10 years. And I was like, okay. I went out for my first match. I was like, holy cow, I haven't felt this feeling in a long time. Why am I so right. nervous? This is silly. It's pickleball. Why do I feel nervous? So it is cool. It keeps those competitive juices flowing. And you still like you said, you still really want to win. How good do you think you could be? I'll tell you, when I saw you coming into the sport, just knowing your tennis game, like you always had great feel of the ball. You had good finesse, good hands. Like I was like, okay, Donald's game is going to translate really, really well. Good volleys. All of the things I think you need to be a good pickleball player. And I still feel like out of the guys that have come in, I mean, obviously Jack's got a big head start on everybody, but I still feel like out of the tennis guys, you could probably be the best. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. Like my tennis, like the way I played the game was necessarily, it wasn't like one big shot was it for me or two or whatever. It was kind of like, moving people out of position and try to kind of finessing it around and spins and changing directions. So yeah, I feel like those things definitely correlate, and it seems like it's a hands thing and it's quick and whatnot. And the court's, a little smaller, so it's maybe not as much to work with, but once you figure it out, you can pick people apart to some extent if you know how to do it. And it's just to learn these different things is, I feel like, honestly, I don't necessarily see like technically a ceiling per se. Like, I could only be this, but I think I'm not going to be the best player right now or anytime soon. But I feel like it with enough work and time spent and hours logged and practice and if the dedication, it definitely could be a top player and one of the guys, like at least in the mix.
Yeah, cool. Are you talking about the hours logged and the time put in? Obviously, a lot of the tennis reps translate over, and you've got a lot of court awareness and positioning type stuff, and a little bit of it's different when you get into the doubles game, but the singles game typically translates the fastest for the tennis guys coming over. Are you looking to play a lot of singles? Obviously, in your 30s now, and maybe for tennis fans that watch pickleball, they're like, oh, that's not very taxing or tiring, or you're not moving that much. But dude, pickleball singles is like, it's a lot of just jerky stop start stuff, and it's more than people think, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I always tell people, they ask, and I'm like, singles is tougher to me than tennis in some aspects of singles because it's more explosive and quick right away. Like tennis, you kind of like work into the point a little bit, like pick your spot to be explosive. But in pickle, if you're not instantly hitting the return or coming in or getting up there to hit the volley, you're in trouble, and you're not gonna you're just not gonna get there. You're gonna lose very quickly. So you have to be a little more explosive. And I keep telling people, if I use this explosiveness in my tennis game, I would have been way better for sure. As far as the movement, I'd have just been like a cat all the time.
It makes you have like an explosive first step. It really does. It's not bad training. It's not, yeah, for like even looking at like junior players, it's not bad training for tennis off the first step anyways.
No, not at all. I mean, it's great. And then I play with some friends, my parents are coaching some kids, and there's some pickleball courts near the tennis courts. So we go out there, and like I'm telling you, and then they like the ball's just going by them and whizzing by, and like, oh man, it's so quick. I got to move so fast. So it's pretty fun. I really enjoy it. And they say it is tough, and I can't imagine because I haven't played yet in like summer heat, but it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it'll take you back to the junior tennis days of playing at like South Fulton and all those
100%.
places.
Yeah, 100% it would take you back. And it's fun, and I enjoy it, and it's just really explosive. And I like the singles aspect because it allows me to actually hit the full tennis strokes and kind of use more of the angles, and kind of I can really use some of the strategy that I, have built into my game and my mind the whole time. It's easier to do that than the doubles. It takes a little more effort.
Yeah, are you based in Atlanta now? Where are you based?
Yeah, I'm still in Atlanta. Yep,
Okay.
I'm still in Atlanta. Yep, south. I moved south. I'm in like Tyrone, Peachtree City area.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Does that obviously a big piece of the pickle stuff is getting good practice, and it's tough because if you're not around players at the similar level, it's tough to get good reps because and pickle people talk about like drilling versus playing ratio, and I think if you don't have guys to play with at the same level, you can do some stuff. You can get the feel, you can get the reps, but as you've probably seen at the highest level, a lot of it's just seeing the better players' shots, the disguise. There's more deception, and until you get that on a regular basis, it's really hard to kind of take that next leap. And you get it at tournaments, but at the same time, and you probably saw this in tennis as well, you are limited at how good you can get unless you are practicing like with higher level guys. That makes sense? Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
100%. No, I totally agree. Like, it's just like tennis. Like, some of my biggest jumps were the Davis Cup practice partner week, where I got to hit with like Andy and James and the Bryans for a week, day in and day out, and like hours on end. And you get to see the speed of the ball, the level in which you have to do, and you can't go back to what you used to do because it just doesn't work. So once that becomes ingrained and that becomes your habit, it's like that's how it is. And that's what it seems pickleball. Like I see the level at the tournaments, and then I come back, and necessarily all the time I'm not necessarily getting that. But I have a couple guys here, like this guy Alvaro Terron. He like beat Tyson a couple years ago. I go down to Auburn and play with Marshall Brown, and yep. Rafa's down there. So, but that's an hour and a half. But I would love to get like a higher level consistently day in and day out. And I think I would see like a significant jump in the level on at least a consistent basis.
Yeah. How many tournaments are you planning on playing this year? Are you playing a full schedule?
So right now I think it's 16 or 18, 16 plus like six or seven MLP events right now. So that's what it looks like. I can play more, I can't play less, but sure. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
And how's that compare to like a normal year on the ATP tour?
About 10 tournaments less. So I normally was playing like 25 to 26 or 27 events. Some of them obviously were 2 week long events, and then we didn't really have the team events. So I guess if you add the team events, it can come close to the same thing. About 25.
But at the same time, I know you're a big homebody. Travel's your least favorite thing to do in terms of tournaments and playing.
Exactly.
So, the fact that it's all US based is probably a, nice relief, a little easier travel, less, less long in terms of duration of tournaments.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was really excited because initially I thought they were all going to be weekend events. And I was like, oh, man, this is
a break.
I'm going to play Thursday and maybe Sunday if I'm doing really good. Like, this is awesome. But I mean, especially being in the States, it makes it way easier. I'm not traveling to Australia or Rome or Japan somewhere. There's a 15-hour flight. This is great. The furthest I'm going is California. So I can do that.
Yeah. And what's a day in the life look like right now? Like, so it's, you said it's all pickle in terms of like what you're doing career wise, but what's a day in the life in Tyrone or Peachtree City?
So I still practice tennis cause I'm hoping to finish this year at the US Open. I got a couple of partners lined up, Chris Eubanks, Taylor Townsend, they said they'll play with me. So nice. I'm looking for, but that's like an hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning. Yep. And then the rest of the day is I'm really trying to get pickled. But the only thing is most of my practice partners have regular jobs. So they're not off of work till 5:30. Yep. So I'm getting out there at 5:45 to like 9 o'clock. So that's happening, I would say on a good week, five times. If they have something going on, maybe four times a week, I'm getting out there. And then weekends, I definitely get the work in.
Yeah, love it. So this, looking at it as kind of like your exit from tennis at the US Open, like just playing dubs and mixed.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I'm, hoping it would be, unless something crazy happens in some tournaments I play. But right now, this is what it is. And I'm really looking forward to pickle. I actually love playing. I actually enjoy playing and meeting these new people and being older as a person. I'm like making more connections and talking and enjoying more of the other aspects rather than just playing.
Yeah, you probably don't feel like, I don't want to go, you're kind of come up in tennis well documented. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to cover stuff that's already been covered and, we can go into it. But obviously you had really, really high expectations coming up as a junior player into the pros at a very early age. It's got to feel nice to be able to play a sport like pickleball where, like you said, you're enjoying it. It's social. You're meeting new people, but you're also getting that kind of like learner's mentality again, kind of the beginner's mindset of like, you're having to drill and get reps, but it feels probably like it did for me. It felt like less taxing and less pressure and less a lot of things than it did with tennis.
Oh, 100%. It feels like the exact opposite. Interesting enough, I always laugh and I joke with my family and friends, and I'm like, well, it's weird because obviously like Jack and Sam or those guys came into it with like all the pressure and people talking about, not pressure, but talking about they're going to be the best and do well. Whereas in tennis, it was like me and they got to like kind of get better and improve on the low. And I'm loving it that I'm getting the fact to just improve and kind of practice and no one's expecting anything. So I actually enjoy it quite a bit. And it's a lot of fun, to be honest. Just go out there and play. If I lose, oh, okay, whatever. If I win, it's amazing. It's not like an expectation yet. So I'm happy about it.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point because I didn't think about it from that perspective of, coming up at tennis, it was all on you. Like,
right.
And those guys got to just kind of in the background get better and without the pressure and the stress of being the next one. And now it's reversed. Now Sam's feeling it. Sam's feeling it.
Definitely. And it's interesting. He's the first one. So always the first one. Yeah. Jack. He went out there and to his credit, he won with Anna Lee, which was great. And it just kind of set this, and he's had all these amazing tennis results and doubles and Olympic gold medals. So it's like they expect it to happen. And, you know, he's doing really well, but it's like they're on him. So they're kind of expecting it now. They're looking like, where's the gold? Is he going to win a gold? Is the gold? And, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, I'm not even hearing anything. So I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, you're just going to slowly. And that's the thing. Like, yeah. And also, like, in these tournaments, I saw, like, you know, Jack, Jeannie, they're getting buys in the progression draws. And, you know, you're having to play first round. So, again, like, you not getting those buys or whatever, it's like, I don't think it's a bad thing, because I think you can just get the match reps and get better and not be kind of like, oh, he got a bye. Did he deserve the bye based on his name? You know what I mean? So it's, you're right. It's like the pressure's on those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I even went out there in one of the events and played a back draw match.
Love it.
Last time I played a back draw, I was like, I'm going to put some more practice there. Let me go out there. And that was pretty fun too. And I haven't played back draw literally since like 14 years old, but it was nice to like, oh, I have another match. Like, great. Let me get some more reps, cause I want to play. So it was fun.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, it's hilarious. What are you most excited about going into the next year here?
Getting better, honestly. You know, just improving, seeing if I can get some of the wins against some of the better players in the world, the best players in the world, and just what my level looks like at 6 months, or I've only played 3 tournaments, what it looks like at 10 tournaments at a full year, and then the next year, just to see the progression, because this is something, honestly, I can personally see improvement every day that I go out there, and every tournament, like, I'm learning something new, which is pretty cool to actually have a sport you can play at a high level and be learning like daily.
Yeah. In terms of kind of, yeah, that beginner's mindset, you mentioned you have pickleball courts close to the facility that you're at, the tennis facility. Are your parents still involved with teaching tennis?
Yeah, they still are. My dad's still, teaching. He's working with a couple kids that are, you know, trying to be pro, and at the lower level, they have aspirations to be pro. So I go out there and help out and hit with them and talk, but yeah, he's definitely working with them. And so he's still grinding that.
How's the balance of, or like, what's the attitude knowing like of the kids there, and even your dad, of knowing like your new path into pickleball? There's been, you know, there's a lot of discourse over pickleball versus tennis. How's it playing out? And, you know, at the local facility where you guys are at?
Yeah, like, so they don't really have like a pickleball program, but they have like some courts, and no one's ever on it. So when I actually go out there with the kids after, it's like, oh, this is the most thing ever on these courts has ever happened. You know, some people come and show up and play for like 20 minutes and leave, but they like it. And my mom has jumped like all into it. She's really excited, and we talk about it. And she even watches on the tennis channel. She's like, hey, I saw him doing this. And I'm like, okay. But my dad like has absolutely zero interest in like watching it for some reason. He's like really stuck on the tennis. And then I try to get him out there, and I'm like, you got to get out there and you got to see how it is. And he's like, oh, this is hard. This is hard. And he's like, this is hard. My back hurt. because he gets really lazy with the tennis, you know, like you just bend over and kind of hit, get loose strings. He just starts slicing around. so with this, he's having to physically do something. So he's like, oh yeah, you're right. It is tougher than I thought. So he's getting more respect, and I'm slowly breaking him down to the point where he enjoys pickleball a little more.
It's a lot of years of tennis, man. It's hard to break through it.
Oh, it is.
Out of all the guys that that you know from your tennis days playing, you know, outside of Jack and Sam and John and those guys, who has shown kind of the most interest in the sport, whether they're playing now or not? Like, has somebody been in your ear of like, well, yeah, what's going on with that kind of thing?
Yeah, like, so actually on the female side, you know, Taylor Townsend, my dad worked with her. Like, she's really, I've taken her out there like twice. She's like, I love it. I want to do this.
Yeah.
I want to do this. I'm like, Taylor, you're 5 in the world in doubles right now. Like,
you're pretty good. Yeah.
Like, relax. You're like 60. You're playing all the slams. Like, you're doing well. Like, she's like, no, this is great. Like, she wants to play all the time. I'm like, well,
yeah.
So she likes to play. There's a couple other players that like, kind of like I've talked to Stevie Johnson about playing, and you know, he said he's played a little bit with those guys out in California, and there's a few guys that are into it, but I haven't been like around them enough. Oh, I've talked to enough to like really get into the conversation within the last year or so, but I'm sure there's some that have like a lot of questions, and I do get some DMs, and then like I've seen Dennis Kula playing, and I hit him up and I'm like, oh, you playing pickle? He's like, maybe. He does a wink. I'm sure he's playing tennis. He's joking. But there's a lot of like things like that happening back and forth between players.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the attitude's really changed probably over the past few years, right? Because at first it was like, you know, who are these guys? Who are these tennis failures that, you know, that are playing pro pickleball? Who, like, what is this? Who cares? And now, you know, you got investors like, you know, LeBron and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and all these people, and it's kind of brought some credibility. And obviously, the money's increased a ton. So people are able to make real livings off this sport now. And I think call it, or you tell me, what ranking, let's say you're a 30-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. You've been playing pro tennis, like really seeking it out since you were 18, 19, 20, maybe you went to college, played D1 at a very high level, and you've been grinding challengers, stuff like that. At what ranking do you think at 30, where you're not really seeing that up, does it make sense financially to pursue a sport like pickleball?
To be honest, like I look at the expenses and I just look like for the last couple of years, man, if you can come in and like, you know, win and maybe get a contract or at least what it was, or I mean, that was probably anomaly a little different, but I would say 250, to be honest, like, because if you won 50, you kind of making slam qualies.
Yeah.
You kind of might qualify to the U.S. Open. You playing challengers. You can make something here, because and then the dream is still the really real close. Like, it's not like far. It's one good week away from being, you know, where you want to be. So I would say like that 250 and below, like especially doubles guys, D4 or 250, I would say you could be top 100, like 80 to and below, because those guys are like, I mean, the doubles is tough. Like I'm watching challengers, you're losing first round, you're slitting $200. Like that's not it. So it's tough.
Yeah. And obviously the doubles, you know, the doubles skill set, the hands, the volleys, you know, that translates much better than call it a Isner query who's making a living off a big serve and a big forehand, you know?
Right. Those guys, I tell them all the time when I was at the challenge, and I'm talking to them because they were laughing a little bit at the Johnson brothers. And I was like, man, these guys are over there like winning. They're like making some good money. They were playing challengers. They were like not doing great, but they were doing okay. And you guys would come over and like really, you know, you stand 2-3 in a room. You're like eating McDonald's and like, you know, stuff like every day. Like, it's not that fun at all.
Right.
Like, I want no parts of that. Like, you can come over and like your skill set, you kind of, your feel for the court and like movement and kind of how they play and quick hands. Like, you might, like, with a little practice, not a little, but a lot of practice, but it would be a quicker transition to like them, say, be top 20 in doubles on the ATP tour. It would be, I think, a faster transition.
Oh, for sure. I went over to the Indian Open in February, it was, and Bopana was there. He made an appearance and got on court for like a little exhibition, and it was literally his first time ever playing. And dude, the hands already, like first time he was like, he was hitting nice drops. Like guys that have like the doubles pedigree, I don't think they understand how quickly they could pick it up and understand and make good money. Probably, I mean, not in that sense, because that dude's winning Grand Slams. He's number one in the world right now. But the guys, like you said, 50 plus that, you know, are playing challengers and not making much. I mean, they could come over and do well.
No, 100%. Like it would just instantly translate. I just think, and you know, you get in paddle sponsors or paying. Some of these guys have never seen a check from a racket company or a clothing brand. You know, they're just getting free product, but they could actually get paid to play. And it's a lot of different opportunities that they just, I don't think, understand or know, or maybe it's the fear. And you just want to make it so bad you spent most of your life trying to do something, which I understand. It's just, you know, chasing the dream, as you know, we've all done, is just what it is with tennis. But it really could change.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on that last point. Just thinking about it, it's like the opportunity cost, right? It's like they've put so much time since they were 5 years old, probably pursuing this dream, and it's still, I mean, they've essentially reached it. You know, if you're playing a slam, you've reached that, but at the same time, you're not making the money you could, and you're still, like you said, you're 1 week away from everything changing. So you're like kind of always chasing that carrot, which makes it really hard to stop playing something.
It really makes it hard. I just look like some of my friends, and I talk to them, and I just look at like how like life outside of the tennis is, and it's just tough. Like I know since I've been really fortunate to like get up to a high level and like make some money and do some things, but to see how they're kind of like going about it and the things, it's like, man, you don't have like a place to stay because you're using it all to like travel and play. You don't have a car, like you can't take your girlfriend out to really eat. You can't do a lot of stuff. It's just tough like scenario, and it's just obviously it's the hope of that it actually would happen. And you know, I mean, it can happen because some people it does, but for 200, 300 people, it's not even enough spaces, you know, to be that high.
Do you remember that first time, just talking about making a living, like as you were coming up, do you remember that first moment where you got a good check and you're like, oh, I got some money?
Yeah, 100%.
What was that?
Yeah, it was like the first really nice check I would say I made was two. And I would say I've gotten some wild cards in the U.S. Open before that, and that was nice. But when I started playing the U.S. Open, it was like 15,000. Like the first round was 15,000. Now I look at it, it's like
Not like
80.
that. Yeah.
Right. It was 2007. I made the third round of the U.S. Open. I made like 60 grand. I was like, oh, like. Yeah, we've made it. You know, that's what I felt like. We've made it. I'm rich, you know. And it was pretty crazy. But yeah, like it was something like that, and it really felt like a real dollar amount where I could appreciate it, and you know, felt like I could do something with it.
Yeah, that's always an interesting moment. Just talking about you coming up again, one thing you mentioned Chris Eubanks earlier and playing dubs with him, hopefully at the US Open this year. You have an interesting past with him as a as he was a young guy coming up, and you were kind of already touring and stuff. Tell us a little bit about that, 'cause I think it's a fun story.
Yeah, so Chris, he come. My dad would have these match plays and hitting groups at South Fulton Tennis Center, and he would come out. His dad would bring him out, and he would come out and like hit in some. You know, he was pretty young, and then as he got older, he was going like to high school. He would come out sometimes, and I would hit with them, and even Skip, Sven, my friend, he was working there in the summer, and Chris was there, and Chris was practicing, and he was around, and we were like playing him to games in 11 and laughing because we were beating them bad, and he wanted to get better and whatnot, and so we were like, I was like, hey, listen, I was like, I know you want to get better. This is the thing. How about you travel with me next year? You can hit. You could travel. We'll take you around. Like he went on like the best tour ever. It was like Monte Carlo, Rome, Madrid, Nice, the French Open, Wimbledon. He was like going everywhere. And so we did that. And at the time, he only wanted to play like level three or four tournaments at the time. Like he didn't think he could be good, or he didn't think he could do anything in tennis, you know. And I was like, man, you're like at this time, he's like 6'4", I'm still growing. I'm like, bro, you're big. You're gonna have a big serve. You can definitely do it because I've seen what these guys look like. And he's like, no, I don't think so. He didn't think he'd get an ITF ranking, nothing. So then we kept hitting. So now, like, a couple years go by, like two, three. He's getting better and better. He's now like making Kalamazoo. And then we're like, well, but what about college? Like, where do you want to go? And his like one of his few offers were like 30% to Alabama. You know, HBCU like FAMU or something like that. He was really excited that he was going to go to a place like that. I'm like, man, you could go to like a school and really do well. And we kind of like set up a hitting session with the. I was hitting at Georgia Tech one time in the off season and practicing. And Kenny can't come down there and actually, you know, talk to a player. At this time, he couldn't do that. So he was like, "Who is that?" And we told him who it was. So we like set up an outside practice for Kenny to see Chris, and I hit with him. And he offered him a full ride right then and there. And I was like, he's not the guy with the ranking that you have to see him play, and he's going to improve. So he got a full ride. He went to Georgia Tech, kind of the rest is history. And throughout his college, we practiced. So when I was getting ready for clay, Kenny was like, yeah, take him. We go hit on clay, and the team's like hitting indoors at some random time. And we're like on the clay courts, and we're doing stuff. And Kenny let him maybe stay an extra week to travel to like Montreal or Toronto with me. So that's kind of like how it went. He just got better seeing the level every day.
Yeah, and I mean, what a cool experience for him, because like you said, when you saw like the biggest gains in your game, it was when you were practicing with the Davis Cup guys, and you had those, you know, windows of really, really high level practice. And for a guy like Chris, probably at that time, getting able to hit with you and being able to travel and also seeing kind of like what that flow and cadence of the tour's like, it was probably just a huge benefit to him.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, and then, you know, my doubles partners and friends on tour, they would hit with them after practice. If I didn't want to hit, he'd go warm up with Mike Russell or Nick Monroe. We'd be doing doubles drills.
He's getting like decent practice.
He was getting really good practice and just being around and just watching it. And we talked tennis, and some of the trips, it was just him and I. So we're just sitting there just talking, and he got to learn all the people and the names, just little things. Like everyone knows him by face now. They see him and it's like, hey, Chris, so he already had built these relationships before he ever really needed them. So it definitely was something I didn't receive as much when I was younger. So I wanted to do that for someone, and I was very happy and blessed that I was able to do that. And it's paying off, as you've seen with his results.
Yeah. And to that point, it was probably it was such an opportunity for him outside of the tennis aspect as well, because he's also known as the mayor, right? So he's got that, he's got that personality where he can make so many like incredible connections. And I think you've seen that pay off with like his work and commentary in the Tennis Channel.
Right. 100%. Yeah, no, he's always been that from a young guy. So to like have this and to utilize what he's already had and growing up, his parents were very social, open people. So he's like learned that, and then to know the people and be comfortable to talk to them. And he's really made it work. And I think the Tennis Channel gig really helped propel him. And he like was watching tennis and learning from even better, higher level minds in tennis. And he just really, he's one of those guys who really learns well and takes in the info, even to the extent it could be detrimental. Like he'll watch David Ferrer videos. I'm like, man, you don't need to be watching that. You know, that's not how you play.
That is not it, dude. That is not it.
He would watch that and he would come and he's doing this. Like, no, that's not it. But
15 feet behind the baseline, just grinding.
100%, right. So maybe that's not what you need to do, but you know, there's definitely, he's that guy who's always willing to improve and learn and something to his game.
I selfishly hope he his playing career just kind of falls off. I don't think it will, just because I think he's such a good commentator. He has such good analysis and insight. He's easily my favorite to listen to commentate a match.
Yeah, no, he's really good. When I've listened to him, it's actually interesting to hear him talk like that and say things, because we have some of these conversations and we're just talking. But the way he's putting it together and talking, it's like, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, you're doing a really good job. He's definitely putting that Georgia Tech to use. for sure.
Speaking of Tech, though, you mentioned Kenny, who was the head men's coach there. I read a funny quote that he was saying about Chris. He's like, yeah, I saw him play at a couple tournaments. All I remembered about him was that he had a big forehand and that it always went out.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely went out. Like, it went out quite a bit, because when he was younger, he actually was trying to grind and, like, play with topspin. And I think a friend and I, we were practicing, like, Chris, why don't you just hit really hard and just make noise after? Like, you're going to serve and, like, just work on that. And then he started hitting big and wins started happening. And, you know, if you do something long enough, you're going to get the range. And that's what happened.
Has he played any pickle?
Yeah, he said he plays. I haven't gotten him out there, but he said he plays. He pulled out his paddle. He had the best paddle, Jamie Foxx's paddle. He pulled it out in practice. We played in the offseason. He had his paddle out. He's like, look, this is it. I'm like, well, I'm going to get you out there. And he's like, well, I'm not that good, but if money's looking like that, I might think about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
What would you say, outside of just kind of getting better throughout this next year, pickleball's interesting compared to tennis, especially doubles? I mean, it's a unique sport in a lot of ways, but specifically you can get isolated. Like if you are the better player, you might not see any balls in a match other than hitting a serve and hitting a return, where you can't really do that in tennis quite as much. How does the partner, I know you said you're playing with a buddy there in doubles, Alvaro Terron. What do you think in terms of the difference between tennis and pickleball in terms of the isolation stuff and the uniqueness of that, and how important partners are in terms of having somebody that's at your ability?
Oh, man, I think it's everything, partners. As far as the doubles, I've really learned that. Like, you really can isolate someone. And I felt isolated for, like, one of the few times in my life. Like, I'm playing and I'm, like, seeing all the balls. I'm like, oh, man, I got to dink. I got to dink 10 times.
Yep.
And I'm starting to get tight under pressure. But and I'm like, oh, man, I don't like this. But to be fair, like, if you want to win, that's what you're going to do. But tennis, you know, you can kind of, like, help a little. You kind of do something that kind of, like, you hit one really hard enough to do something where you can kind of, like, impose yourself to like do something. I mean, they still have to serve and return, but if they can do that to some extent And then doubles now is no ad. You can like kind of break the team yourself. Like if you return in that good, you can kind of do something and they can pop in and make a volley here or there or overhead. But this, like you can really just make them have to hit the shot they don't like all the time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting dynamic, I would say.
Yep. Have you being a lefty is, I think, incredibly valuable in the sport. You know, being able to play with a righty, have two forehands in the middle. I think the game's evolving to where you're going to have to be good on both sides, in my opinion, because teams at the highest level, you look at the Johns, you look at Dylan and J-Dub, those types of guys, like they just don't make any errors and they love patterns and they love the same patterns. And they know you're going to try to speed up and their hands are so fast that they have great counters that I think the future, in my opinion, of men's doubles is being able to have a ton of variety and being able to be good off both sides, both wings. And so your opponent, call it, you know, those guys don't have kind of that set pattern to beat you with every time. Like they have, you have so many different looks and so many different weapons and lack of weak spots that it makes it really hard for them to hone in, like you said, on that one weakness or that one kind of soft spot.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's like, you know, lefty, righty, I like the kind of the middle, but you really are going to have to be good on both sides. Like, so I play a little more on the left because I play on the right quite a bit. So finding partners that are on guy's side is not hard to find someone who can play left kind of, because at some point, I guess, in their pickleball career, they played left. But on the female side, to find a partner that's comfortable being on the left is pretty interesting. And I asked a couple, and they're like, oh, well, I'm a right side, so maybe it'd be better. Because tennis, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'll go deuce and you think you can return deuce and just really matter. Like, but this is more so because some are specialists and whatnot, and they feel more comfortable, and they feel like they're on an island on the wrong side. So, I agree with that. And like, J-Dub and those guys, their hands are so quick. Like, they're like baiting you to speed up, it seems. And it's like, yeah, do it if you want to. This is what's going to happen. And it seems open, but it's not. They close the gap and the hole pretty quick.
Yeah, what do you feel like right now in your pickleball game? What do you feel like are your strengths, and where are the biggest gaps that you have to fix?
So, like, my forehand's pretty good, like, you know, but the dinking for sure is something I have to just get a lot better with. And just consistency, not making bad decisions and, like, a lot of bad, like, errors, just lazy errors. I'm just missing a shot because I'm just not focused on it. Or whatever situation may be, you just check out. Like, those points count, and they go in clusters, and it just it's pretty quick. And it's 2-11, so it's not like I can kind of come back, you know. You get down 7-3, 7-0, it's pretty hard to, you know, get back.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was, like, glaring to me coming from tennis was how fast, like, you go from one point to the next. You know, in tennis, like, you have to go chase the ball. The court's big. Right. It's a little slower. You can, like, kind of reprocess stuff and reset. And this is like, oh, you miss a return, the next point's already started. It's like so 100%. Quick that you have to figure out how to, like, in a shorter amount of time, kind of find that reset and go to the next point much, much quicker than you do in tennis.
Yeah. And the timeout is a really good tool and strategy. Like, it's killed me a couple times. Me and my partners have been on a run, and I'm serving well, timeout. As soon as I come back out, miss the serve, side out. It's like quite a few times in some matches. And I'm like, what is, it's just, because it's that one serve as well. You don't have the second serve to kind of like check back in. It's like, it's really, you got to be on point the whole time.
Yeah. And so from tennis to pickle, you have some Davis Cup experience. So you have some of the team experience there. I know you've mentioned in the past that you like tennis because the results, win or lose, fall on you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts of MLP? Kind of have you watched any of it? The team kind of environment, obviously you had the experience at the Vegas event. What are your thoughts on the team aspect, MLP, and are you going to play?
Yeah, like, I really like the team concept because I haven't done much team, but I like teams. Like, growing up, I played a lot of baseball and soccer and whatnot, and I like the team aspect of having a team and, you know, the camaraderie and going to dinners and eating and playing for other people. I didn't get the college experience. I would have loved to. If it was today's tennis, I definitely would have gone. Yeah. Because of what you can do. But I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing MLP, talk to some people. So hopefully I get drafted, whatever the situation is. And I would love to play. And I think it's just different, you know, having to rely on a teammate. You know, like, if they're not playing well, you know, you could lose. And if you're not playing well, you could lose. So having that asset kind of keeps me engaged as far as, like, being dialed in. It's not like I can go you know, in tennis, you're not feeling it that day. It doesn't matter because I'm the only one losing. You know, I'll get next week. You know, but this one, you can't do that when someone else is like taking their time, paid their money. They're out there wanting to win too. You need to have some accountability and try. And we both want to win because we have a similar goal. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really would love to play with different people. I think it could build the relationship with partners and just, you know, people building and connections. Pickleball seems like such a great thing with building connections with people, and you never know when those relationships can pan out and work in your favor.
For sure. What are your thoughts on another kind of interesting aspect of pickleball that I found compared to tennis is the partner like dynamic between you and your partner, because there's so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And like you said, you can get isolated and maybe you're the one making all the errors or a few, you know, and then the other person's like visibly frustrated. And then you get frustrated because you don't feel like they have your back. Like it's like, there's so many layers of kind of that dynamic that you have to navigate because it really matters. Like I'm guilty of it all the time of showing visible frustration, and it's bad. Because it's not going to make your partner your partner doesn't feel like you have their back. They feel like they can't do anything right. They don't feel like you believe in them. It's bad. So like, it's incredibly important to like be kind of positive no matter what, which is really tough, you know, especially when you want to win really badly. You're a competitive guy. And what have you found in respect to partnerships like that? Have you run into that yet?
Since the paddle tapping is kind of important, I kind of like try to keep that, you know, in the forefront. Like I want to do the paddle tap. So it looks like, but you feel connected. Cause in times, you know, you start missing, I'm just walking to the other side. Like we're not clapping hands. We're not doing anything because it's just bad. I can't wait to get off this court. But I try to keep that, dynamic there. And it's some sort of like, it's all right. It's good. I'm pretty new. So I'm the one messing up quite a bit now. Yeah. So I feel like I can't. I don't have any liberty to get that mad with you. But I have to have some rec games that I really want to win them, and they're just tearing my partner up, and he's just missing, and I like feel myself getting a little irritated.
Yep.
But I just try to keep that like togetherness and closeness and kind of like touching with the paddles and like, come on, it's all right, you know, because literally you need them. Like it's not like you can do it by yourself, you know. Like tennis, I sometimes feel if you got off the court, I win this match. but this one is totally different. You need the person, and you can't do it at all, and you would get, you know, eaten up. But I just think you need to keep that kind of like team, because you need them to be uplifted and feeling, you know, good about themselves, and you can do better. So I usually tell the person, you're the best person on the court, you know, and then they start just stealing some confidence in your partner when things are down, because that's what I would want, and it seems to help a bit. But I'm still working out the formula as well.
No, that's big at a early stage in your pickleball career, because I'm not at the beginning stage of my pickleball career, and I still struggle with it. So much more mature than me in that respect.
It's all good. You've been playing longer, so you have, you know, more history behind it, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope you get drafted to an MLP team. It's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun to play. Have you done the rally scoring yet? Like, have you played around with it?
I did. I had a money ball event I played, and they were doing the MLP style scoring. I was super tight. Like, I was like, I'm serving like a 12-year-old girl. Like, I'm just trying to get it in there. Like, chicken wing arm. Like, this is not it. But I played more, and it's getting better. But, yeah, I was nervous. I was like, why am I not hitting it? Yeah.
It is funny, though, especially when you could lose a point on your serve, you're like, okay, just in.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you got to find that happy medium, that balance there of like going for it, but enough that it's doing something and enough not to miss. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a formula there.
Love it. Well, my hope today, dude, was just to get you on here so people could get to know you a little bit better, could understand kind of your background, where you came from. I mean, I'm going to do an intro after this that obviously talks about kind of your history in tennis and the level you got to and all that stuff. So I didn't want to cover that in our conversation, but I just want people to get to know you and to see kind of what your aspirations were in pickleball. And I, for one, am pumped to have you over. I want more tennis guys to come over because I think it builds credibility for the sport. And I think the sport's, it's such a great sport because it brings so many people together from, I mean, you can be 10 years old playing with a 70-year-old And have a competitive game, which, like, what other physical sport can you really do that? It's tough. So yeah. I just love the fact that you came over. I hope you recruit more guys to come over. You know, once we get Chris Eubanks in the Tennis Channel booth, he can start playing pickle too. And we'll have everybody. Tell Taylor not to come yet, though. Not Taylor yet.
That's what I told her. I was like, it's going too well over there. Like, write that out. She could play doubles for forever.
Long time.
Like,
yeah.
With her skill set, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, she's solid. She can volley. She can do overhead. She can just do a lot of things that most can't do. So, yeah, no, she needs to stay.
But on that note, before we close out, because you mentioned you're doing tennis in the morning, pickle in the evening. Are you finding any difficulties going back and forth between the two?
So I have a tougher time actually going from tennis to pickle than I do pickle to tennis. Like, tennis takes me 10, 15 minutes of getting in the field because I've done it so long that I'm there. But the pickle, like, yeah, that takes – I need games and some time, like an hour – 2 hours, maybe six games, and then I feel like I'm starting to finally feel it. So I need more reps, and obviously because I don't have the muscle memory of it, it definitely needs more time. Yeah.
And I know you're I read that you're like a feel guy, like a reps. Like, I'm the same way. If I take a month off of something, I'm gonna need a lot of reps to start feeling it again. Yeah. And I think that's I mean, doing that with two sports is tough. Doing that with pickle by itself is tough after all the memory of tennis. So. Yeah. I'm excited for you to play the U.S. Open with those guys, though. And I'm more excited for you to go full-time in pickle after that.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited about both, and I'm loving the pickle life. And it's a lot of fun meeting all these new people and like, competing at a high level. And, like, again, we talked about getting those nerves. I miss that. And people cheering for you, that's a great feeling. And I want to keep that as long as I can.
Anything we haven't covered that you want to say before we close out?
No, that's pretty much it. Like, I'm pretty excited. Yeah, we got to get on the court some, though. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, we'll pull. I know Chase said Posh is trying to play a little bit, and Chase. I don't think Chase is playing. He's given up on the dream. But he's with UTR now, and they're getting heavy into pickle, which is cool to see. But I'll have to make an Atlanta trip soon.
100%. Pasha is playing. I played with him. He's taking it serious. He's having a lot of fun with it too. So it's good. He said it's good networking for him. It's like his new golf.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, it's really good.
I think we're going to see a lot of that too, especially with the guys that are really good at tennis that don't have the time to play full time pickle. It's going to be such a good networking tool.
It will be, and I look forward to it bridging the gap.
Yeah. All right, my man. I appreciate your time. I'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Ross. Later.
Later, buddy.